Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
And Rutherford Issues powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Their annual meeting, it's held virtually. It's going to be on the 16th, Saturday, August 16th, 2 o'clock. Now, beginning tomorrow, you can register to be entered for prizes. You register to say, hey, I'm going to be a part of the virtual meeting. You're registered for prizes. You could, I mean, they've got some great stuff that they're giving away. You can submit questions that will be answered during the live event that is virtual. And also, you can vote for your officers. You can do that at MTE or by phone starting tomorrow. MTE.com/annual meeting, where you can find more information. John Mitchell joins us. John is with the Heart of Tennessee chapter of the American Red Cross and joins us monthly here to give us an update on what's going on. And boy, the summertime just flew by, didn't it, John?
Yeah, it sure did. Here we are. I don't know if we're getting, you know, close to fall, but little coolness in the air a couple days, which was a nice relief. And yeah,
you've lived here long enough, you know it's false fall.
Yeah I do because then it's going to come back around. Uh-huh. And we're going to just be roasting for a little bit and then slide right into winter, and then all the teachers in the world will be praying for those snow days.
Yeah And in between now and then, you know, sometimes I've noticed that if August is a little cooler in the beginning, especially, that boy, end of August, September especially, can just be really hot.
Yeah.
And even October can be warm at times.
It can. I love this area, and you know, the weather is nice. I wish we could do a little something about the humidity. If you could work on that, Brian, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll try. Yeah.
And outside of that, Middle Tennessee offers so much.
Yeah, it does. And on the weather front, you know, there is what is called a secondary severe weather season in the fall, you know, during those early or fall and early winter months, there's that clash of hot and cold. And, you know, so we get storms during that time of the year too. So, and, unfortunately we're coming up on hurricane season, although so far it's been pretty quiet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to end with a bang.
That's true. So we gear up, and, you know, we work off of a fiscal year as far as keeping track of a lot of our statistics. And as we, you know, go into this this phase, we are starting to really focus on hurricanes. A lot of the national trends are changing so much with weather patterns and, you know, unfortunately, flooding, you know, flash flooding is becoming an issue that you can't underestimate. And so we're really working on being prepared, you know, locally, and also being prepared to respond to, in, you know, some national disasters that may arise.
Well, today we're going to talk about, you know, just some of the things that our local Red Cross has been involved in, and disaster response is one of those. And as we take a look, keep in mind that what we talk about here and any numbers you hear are from the last fiscal year, which ended June 30th of this year and started July 1 of 2024. And again, disaster response, you all have put in a lot of volunteer hours and responded to several disasters. I think people will be very, very surprised by the number.
Yeah, and thank you for saying it the way you said it, because you talked about volunteer hours. So the first statistic that's pretty consistent is the fact that 90% of everything we do is through volunteer support, and we can't do it without these great volunteers. As a matter of fact, we tracked over 35,000 you know, hours of volunteer support, which is key. And a really kind of inner look at that numbers is these are documented hours. And so there's a system where you go in and you document it. We all know that there's probably more hours hanging out there that we never tracked, but that's how dedicated our volunteers are, is to go provide the disaster relief, humanitarian services, and then document it so we can, you know, constantly be telling people, you know, we have a lot of people that, you know, donate to the Red Cross. And so that's one of the best ways we can show them what you're doing. Just locally last year, we responded, and this is 16 counties, Brian. This is going from the state line up north of Putnam County in Cookeville all the way down to Lincoln and
Franklin
County. Yeah, Franklin, as I couldn't spit it out. But through those 16 counties, we responded to 157 disasters, which impacted and we assisted 188 families. So the big thing to know about that is the majority of those are home fires. And that's what we're doing on a very regular basis. We have a position called Disaster Action Team Member that has a phone, or they get on a call list. Someone may say, I'm available during these times, and there's a list. And if somebody says, hey, I'm going to be a Disaster Action Team Member, they may get a call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 a.m. saying there's a house fire at XYZ address. So we show up, the volunteers, the firefighters do their thing, but we just start working with the family, looking them in the eye, trying to provide a little bit of hope because maybe everything they own just vanished. And they're looking to see their next step. So there's some financial assistance we can put in their hands that night, some mental health counseling, spiritual health counseling, give them resources that are around that they've never thought they'd have to go reach out to all these different groups they've heard about, but now they need to know who's out there. So it's a pretty special position. And, you know, the reason I mentioned the 2 p.m., the 2 a.m., some say, well, I couldn't go out at 2 a.m. Well, if you become a Disaster Action Team Member, you're putting yourself available to be called. So there'll be a list of people. So if all of a sudden you said, you know, I'm on the call list, but you have right of refusal. You're not forced to go. You're not getting paid. But there's another person down the list to call. And then we've got a few of them. There's some heroes. It's been working for the Red Cross. We have a guy named Gene Williams, lives in Bedford County. He covers so much territory. It's just a passion for him. He loves it.
Yeah.
And he crosses county lines and does that. So we're always looking for our next Gene Williams. So if you're sitting at the house and you're thinking, you know, I got a little extra time, I'd love to help people in their greatest time of need, give us a call. You know, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS and it'll come right to us. But we're looking for people that want to help people when they need it.
And the fact that these volunteers are just always ready to go, and you're right, meet someone when they're in their probably the toughest time of their life, you know,
yeah.
And that's always tough. And on that, you mentioned that the number one disaster that you respond to are house fires. So there's really been an effort to educate the community about the need for smoke detectors, and you're actually putting those in homes.
Absolutely. There's a statewide program through the state fire marshal's office. So fire departments can do it too, but they have limited manpower. What we like to do is ramp up that activity, use our existing volunteer bases, join with community partners like we've done with First Baptist Church recently that we're getting ready. We just met with the Smyrna mayor and the fire chief, and we're getting ready to do what we call a sound alarm save a life in Smyrna in October. We've got a few dates we're looking at, but we're going to make a big push to go into a community, and this is an opportunity for our volunteers to work with the local fire department to just canvas that neighborhood. We'll put out some information that we're coming, knock on a door, provide them with safety tips on fire safety, tornado safety, have that conversation. In the middle of that, we identify if they need smoke alarms. And if they do, we have free smoke alarms we install for nothing. They got a 10-year battery. And so it's a really great opportunity. This is a great entry point for somebody that just wants to check us out. So when you see information about a sound alarm, save a life, and you want to come, we can count you as an event-based volunteer. You're coming that day. There'll be a group of 3 to 4 people walking certain streets, and one person will know where to install the smoke alarms. And one person may be taking the paperwork and the other one may be carrying the bucket with the drill and some of our things, and it's a group effort, but keep an eye out for that. That's just very rewarding. And through that, last year in the calendar year, we installed 318 smoke alarms, assisted, 176 people during the fires. But actually, another statistic to that 318 smoke alarms is educating over, 400, it was over 500, I can't remember the specific number, of fire safety. And, I can think of one case where we were in a trailer and we can give them a little map and they can draw out their fire route. And one of the routes was to go out the back side, and that entrance was blocked. And I remember just seeing that person's face like, I'm using that as storage space, but I may need to go out that.
Right. You need two escape routes.
You need two escape routes, yes. And so you have these conversations just to get people thinking in that preparedness space. And so we're really proud that not only do we respond to disasters, but we really try to alleviate human suffering through our preparedness programs. And sound the alarm, smoke alarm install is just one of them. We can come in and do hands-only CPR. If you're an organization and you would like for us to come into one of your meetings and do a Be Red Cross Ready presentation, how do you as a family or how do you as a person stay prepared? And do you have a go kit, a go bag to walk out of your house when things happen? We have some volunteers that just do great jobs with that.
John Mitchell joining us. He is with the Heart of Tennessee chapter of the American Red Cross, Rutherford County and several other Middle Tennessee counties, but based right here in Murfreesboro. Some of the looking back at some of the big impacts that our local Red Cross has had this past fiscal year, part of that in terms of training, we're talking like CPR and water safety, things like that, right?
Absolutely. And there's a vast amount of training that is done through Red Cross programs. And we do have ongoing Red Cross classes that are happening right in our office. They can be happening at local sites. But last year, over 5,000 people were taught life-saving skills. 4,500 people in first aid, CPR, and AED. It's a nice caveat that if you become a Red Cross volunteer, you can send in a code and you can get that for free. I keep mine current every 2 years. And it just, once again, I know that he won't mind me telling the story, but Alan Brown is one of our board members that joined within the last couple of years. Alan's middle-aged guy, he's in great shape. Very successful financial advisor in town. But 2 or 3 years ago, he had an episode where he fell out with a heart attack on a recreation field. And he is highly motivated to get people to have this skill, because he knows if somebody wasn't there to kind of keep him sustained till the professionals came, he could have died. Mm. And it really becomes... it really becomes very personal at that point. So Alan is one of those. And Bill Shacklett, I'm going to tell you, Bill's such a great guy in the community. But we did a little video of our board members saying, what's your affinity? What was your connection to the Red Cross? I've known Bill for a long time. But when he gave that video and he sent it back in, I had no idea that he said he saved his mother's life with CPR. I've been in Red Cross board meetings with them and everything.
Wow.
And I just didn't know that. And it came out and it's like, wow, that's so powerful. So yeah, our training services is really powerful. And if you want to look into getting a CPR class, you can of course go to redcross.org. I do this every time I'm here. Feel free to give me a call on my personal cell and I can direct you towards the right people. 615-651-3405. The other thing that people may not know about is our service to armed forces. We are the communication link between military families when they have an emergency. Most of the time is that's when there's a death in the family and they want to get that soldier home. We work with the military to do that. That being said, it does tie into our relationship on international services. But last but not least is our biomed, our blood donation program. So last year, we hosted 630 blood drives in the 16 counties, collected over 14,000 units of blood. And again, that's life-saving blood. Jenny Williams, our board chair, she's highly motivated by that as she has worked with her husband's health issues, and blood donations is a key part to that. So a lot of different things in the Red Cross. Some people don't know that.
Yeah, I think this was probably eye-opening for some people to understand that these are things that the Red Cross does. And again, keep in mind what John said, that 90% of the work that's done is done by volunteers. So that's kind of where things start. So if you would like to volunteer, if you know, you can give the gift of life of blood at the local office as well, which is really a boon to have. I mean, being open all the time.
And I've told this story before, but I'm going to do it in this setting because I'm here at WGNS, and you can't say WGNS without saying thinking Bart Walker. But Bart Walker is probably personally responsible for us being in that great facility. He told us in a meeting that the mayor said when the Chamber of Commerce was moving from that building to out by the avenue, he said, what do we got to do to move into that facility? We need a good facility. And the real anchor to that is that secured us to have a fixed blood site. And so the mayor, I forget who he said the mayor was at the time, he said, how often can I call you? And he goes, once a week or whatever. And you probably wouldn't be surprised to know that Bart was right on top of whatever he was given, and him and other board members made that happen. So thank you, Bart.
Do you know what year that was?
I can do some research, and we can talk to Bart. I'm bad about just re-pulling dates, but
90s, early 2000s, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of thinking Nancy Allen, but I'm not sure.
That could be. So, again, that's just an example of, you know, if you believe in something, whether it's the Red Cross or your church or a nonprofit that you work with, be an advocate, be active. One little phone calls you make could be transformational. Just think of how many units of blood have been collected at our blood donation center at 501 Memorial Boulevard. And that was because somebody stood up and said, we need this.
Yeah. Well, of the 630 blood drives, you know, almost 15,000 units of blood in this last year. And I'm sure a lot of those came right here from the heart of Tennessee. So if you'd like to volunteer, find out more about maybe taking a CPR class, you're going to be a new parent, it's going to be important to know all of these things about the Red Cross, you can contact our local Red Cross. And if you just call 1-800-RED-CROSS, they'll direct you right here to the local office. John, as always, we appreciate you stopping in.
Brian, thank you so much. You have a great day.
Absolutely.
And a great weekend.
You too. John Mitchell joining us this morning, again from the Heart of Tennessee chapter of the American Red Cross. And a reminder to you that if you missed part of the program, very easy to go back and check the podcast, and it will be up lickety-split, probably within 10 minutes. Maybe by the time you can get to a computer to go back and listen, because you'll want to go back and hear some of the great things John talked about if you just joined us. All right, have a great day, great weekend. We'll see you back here next time.